Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
With the Oscars just 1 week away, Million Dollar Baby is generating quite a buzz with its 7 nominations. Here to talk about his nomination for Best Supporting Actor, Mr. Morgan Freeman. Mr. Freeman, are you there?
I couldn't believe it was happening. Me, Morgan Freeman, about to do Weekend Update.
Mr. Freeman, where are you?
Give me a second. I'm narrating. Here I am.
Aw, there you go.
Thank you kindly for having me, ladies.
Oh, our pleasure, Mr. Freeman. Congratulations on your nomination. You must be very excited.
Well, as always, I'm honored. But it's not the first time I've been nominated for an Oscar playing the role of a white person's friend who just narrates the film and just the same old, kind of old hat for me. I've made a career out of helping white folks solve their problems in movies, saving their lives, giving them advice, but no more, no sir. I think it's time Morgan Freeman helped himself. And I'm not talking about saving the world. I'm not talking about making people laugh. I'm talking about a grade A, flat out, no holds barred love scene. I wanna get freaky with some young hottie like every other leading man over 50. Hell, I'm running out of time. No more advice like get busy living or get busy dying. I just wanna get busy. Period. I don't wanna be driving Miss Daisy. I wanna be riding Miss Daisy. And you know, come to think of it, I've made 15 films with Ashley Judd. What's a brother got to do to get some of that? So please, if anybody's listening, just write me a script where there's a love scene, and when you see me in the bed, I'll show you a true Oscar-winning performance.
Morgan Freeman, everybody!
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, January 4th, 2022. 308 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? I hope everybody is rested and ready to go at this. And maybe you're saying, yeah, I was ready to go at it yesterday, JC, you didn't show up. Yeah, there was a reason for that, but I'm not going to go into it right now. But here we are now, and that's all that matters, right? Betty White did not die of COVID, and she did not die because she got a COVID booster shot 2 days before she was found dead, okay? That should tell you something about the anti-vax crowd, by the way. That should tell you something, because if you have to lie to everybody on the off chance that they're dumb enough to not read the news or see the story on TV or see the follow-ups where everybody denies the conspiracy theory, the people who were close to her. By the way, they said that Betty White's last word was Alan, as in her husband, Alan Ludden. That's what Betty's assistant told Carol Burnett. Betty and Alan were married from 63 until his death in 1981. But somebody got on the internet yesterday and said, oh, yeah, she got a COVID shot 2 days before she died. So clearly those shots are not they're not safe, because she got the shot and then she died 2 days later. And they said she died peacefully in her sleep. That was it. But again, that should tell you a lot, because when you have to rely on these conspiratorial lies to try to get people to come over to your side, that's pretty weak. That's pretty weak. And at the same time, here we go. And at the same time, if she died peacefully in her sleep, how does this guy know that her last words were Alan? Was he sleeping next to her and she just muttered that out? And then that's it? More questions than answers here on a Tuesday morning on the JC Corcoran Podcast. So it was great being in St. Louis for about 2 weeks. I'm back in Florida now because my daughter has to go to school. We got to put my daughter in school somewhere, and it's either St. Louis or it's Florida. And the whole idea of getting a place in Florida was to get away from the cold weather and when does school happen? Well, it happens primarily in cold weather. So it's one of those things where I think I've learned, by the way, you get off the plane after everything being beautiful and green and sunny and everything like that. You get off the plane there in Muskoda and you look around, everything's gray and dead. It looks like the cover of the Bare Trees album, Fleetwood Mac. So we will continue our policy of being back in St. Louis every couple of months and then being back for the majority of the summer months. I like the humidity. It opens up the pores. But then you get into that rental car racket thing. There are a couple of rackets in this country. You know, taxes, when the IRS will come after you making $38,000 a year, try to poke holes in your deduction claims, but you get these giant multi-billion dollar corporations that pay no tax. So that's racket number one. Funeral homes. There you go. There you go. And then the rental car place. Oh, the other one is the rental truck industry. Rent this truck for $19 a day. And then you rent the truck, you bring it back, and somehow it ends up being $179. But the rental car thing. Oh, man. The woman at the desk says, now, this is no smoking, so if you smoke in the car, you forfeit your agreement, and you also forfeit some dollar figure that we've just pulled out of our asses here, and you lose all of that. So what happens? We go out to the car. I open it up. The whole car smells like smoke. I almost went back. I almost went back to the desk and said, hey, wait a minute. Now, you know, if I bring this car back and it smells like smoke, it already smelled like it when we got in. So at the end of the trip, I told them about that, and they took $80 off the bill. So I consider that a productive day. But I ate Lion's Choice twice. I ate Schnucks Fried Chicken probably two or three times. Those are my two favorite things to eat in St. Louis. We hit Mission Taco a couple times. And I finally did make it over to see Tower T. I didn't play or anything because it had already started to get cold. You know, those first couple of days right before Christmas where it was like 75 degrees out. And that's when I should have gone. But even on a cold day last week, there were people out at Tower T hitting. And I saw it in the pictures before I actually got to see it in person. I was like, this looks really nice. And then I went out there and it was even nicer than I was expecting. But I don't always announce every time I come into St. Louis. Sometimes I'm in and I make a big deal about it. And maybe I should. I don't know. But you know me, I like baseball. And the Midwest is where the baseball is, both in Chicago and St. Louis. And that's where I spend my time during the summer. So I'll see you then. I hate to put it that way. I just had it with cold weather. You know, and I worked in Wisconsin and places like Omaha and in Michigan. And I lived in Chicago a good chunk of my life. Buffalo, New York. Come on. I put my time in. I'm entitled to a little nice weather. 24 degrees as we record the podcast here this morning in St. Louis, in the upper 40s in Central Florida, so you don't have to feel too bad. Boy, taking down Christmas lights is really, really fast and really, really not fun. Because you think about just a month ago, you were putting them up. And remember how festive that was, you know? And there's maybe a turkey or a chicken in the oven, and it's getting blustery outside, and somebody decides to put on some Christmas music, and you're trimming the tree. That's what we used to call it, trimming the tree. That's when we had that disgusting tinsel. Somewhere the tinsel guys are sitting there going, what happened? We had this great business. People bought tinsel every year. They put it all over their trees. We were doing fine. And then all of a sudden, one day, people stopped using tinsel. I'm sure the color wheel people feel the same way. But yeah, putting the stuff away is not nearly as much fun. Anyhow, back to the trip. So we're leaving St. Louis on New Year's Eve. Flight is scheduled for 1 o'clock. Everything is fine until you get the text saying it's been moved back to 3 o'clock. Then it's been moved back to 3:30. Then the most important one, 3:35. I'm sure glad they sent us that one. So we're having lunch over at Lotawata Creek in Fairview Heights, and we hear they're doing COVID testing in the parking lot of the mall. And we're thinking, we got enough time. Maybe we could go over there and hit that too. Well, it turned out we didn't have enough time. And now it turns out that that wasn't COVID testing. That was some bogus guys out there pretending to be doing COVID testing. But all they were doing is gathering personal information, including your social security number and the cops shut him down. So anyhow, we get to the airport, and we got plenty of time. And it's always that cluster at TSA. Sometimes you go through there, and it's pretty smooth, but it's the holidays. There was one woman traveling with three dogs and three kids. Now, I didn't even know you could bring three dogs on a plane. And you could tell she was a Karen. She was a young Karen, too, and that's the worst kind. So everybody is having to, you know, accommodate her. Everybody's having to move around for her. Hey, I got two cats and a dog, too. But you know what we did? We had somebody watch them here in Florida while we were on our trip. And I understand that maybe sometimes you don't want to do that. And then you get that, too. Speaking of rackets, which we were just talking about a moment ago, that's the other one, this support dog thing. Support animal. Doesn't even have to be a dog. You could have a support hamster if you wanted to, I guess. And the rules and the laws on these things are really sort of nebulous. I think that the law and the rule, I say law and rule sort of interchangeable because I don't know in which cases they're laws, in which cases they're just rules. But I know that you can pretty much claim any animal and just say, this is my support animal. And then you put like a little special collar around them. And then, you know, everybody's supposed to get out of your way. Somebody's going to challenge that someday and just try to get on the plane with a support supermodel. Guy goes, hey, look, for you, it's a schnauzer. For me, it's Heidi Klum. Now, where's my seats? So anyhow, it's that cluster at TSA, and we have a couple of bags that we're checking and a couple of bags we're carrying on. Our luggage is blue. We go through the process. You know, you completely undress, empty your pockets, the whole thing, and you go sit down and you wait for your flight. So now we're sitting there, and about 5 minutes later, my wife says, wait a minute, where's our blue suitcase? And she just jumps up out of the chair and goes hauling ass down the terminal to go back to TSA. And in fact, there's TSA guys standing there going, does anybody belong to this blue suitcase? And she goes, oh yeah, she says, it's mine, I'm so sorry. She runs up there. Well, it's not the same blue suitcase. It's not our blue suitcase. And it's not even our style of luggage. It's blue, and that's the only thing that we have in common with it. We're like, well, we are missing a blue suitcase, but that's not it. Our blue suitcase apparently has vanished into thin air. And we're panic-stricken because there's very, very important stuff in that bag. It wasn't even my stuff. It was my wife's stuff. It was work-related stuff and of a very sensitive nature. Let's just put it that way. So the TSA people were really trying to help, and they're like, well, no other flights have gone out of here today because of the fog, so that suitcase has got to be here somewhere. Somebody obviously accidentally grabbed your suitcase thinking it was theirs. So they start making announcements over the PA. Nobody comes forward. Please, everybody, just look down. I know it seems silly. Just look down at your suitcase and make sure it's yours. Please, double check, triple check, because somebody has accidentally picked up a suitcase that isn't yours, and it's bad news for everybody. Still nothing. So we're sitting there, and everybody's sort of looking around like, well, how can this even be? And this goes on for what has to be 45 minutes. You can imagine the terror we're experiencing in this whole thing. All of a sudden, the TSA guy shows up. He's got our suitcase. And it's like, oh, thank God for that. Thank you so much. But where was it? And the TSA guy says, some very old gentleman accidentally grabbed your blue suitcase. So go, that's fine, but how come he didn't hear the announcements? Well, he's been in the bathroom. We're like, he's been in the bathroom this whole time with our blue suitcase? And the guy just hands the thing over, and we're like, okay. Now we get on the plane, and the manifest isn't matching up with what's on the plane. And they had to do like seven sweeps through the plane where they started at the back of the, this is full, this is a sold out flight, and they start at the back and they have to ask everybody their name, and then they check it off on the manifest. They get all the way up to the front of the plane, still for some reason it's not matching up. They did this seven times, and finally, from what I'm able to gather, some woman in about row five gets up and leaves. And what we think happened is that she was trying to fly on somebody else's ticket, and her ID did not match up with the ticket, and it made it all the way to almost taking off on this flight before they caught it. And now I'm thinking, you know why this happened? because everybody was running around trying to look for our blue suitcase and screwed up everything else. So they finally get this woman off the plane. The thing finally matches up. We take off. Everything's fine. We'll be home in a couple of hours. We land in Florida. We get our luggage that had been checked. My wife says, oh, I don't have a mask. Oh, I know. I have one stored in the pouch of our blue suitcase, the one that was missing. And there's those little zipper pouches on the side of the suitcase. She opens it up, and inside she finds two adult diapers. This poor old man must have been having all sorts of issues and had the adult, maybe that's why he was in the bathroom for as long as he was. Thank goodness the adult diapers were fresh and not used. I think I'm just going to stay put for a while and not travel. Oh, back to the Christmas lights for a minute. So you take the lights down, you know, they're on the tree or hanging on the side of the house, whatever, and you wrap them up and you store them in a box and then you put it in the basement or in the garage. And then next December, you open it up and you test the lights and they don't work. What goes wrong in a box in the garage or the basement? It's just wire. How do wires go bad sitting in a box in the basement or the garage for 12 months? It's not eggnog, for God's sakes, that'll go bad after a couple of weeks. Cheap wiring. And then you get all these stories about people who had guests in their home. I mean, like for right now, my father-in-law is still staying with us. He leaves tomorrow, but he was the one watching the animals while we were gone. And he's not a big Christmas guy, not a big festive guy. And so he was happy to get out of St. Louis for two or three weeks and just, you know, sit here and watch Turner Classic Movies and the History Channel and the Weather Channel, all that sort of stuff, and sports. Take care of the dog, take care of the kitty cats, eat, drink, and be merry. And all that went just fine, except that you talk to these people, stories of people where, okay, our routine has been interrupted and animals really don't like it. They talk about cats being persnickety, but dogs are just as bad. The guy who tutors my daughter in math showed us up yesterday, and his dog ate the son's bed. They apparently locked him in the bedroom because he was being disruptive while the guests were in the house. So the dog said, okay, fine, I'll eat the damn bed. Add that to your list of credit card woes as we go into the new year. A lot of discussion on St. Louis TV the last couple of days, and I have access to St. Louis TV. I'm watching it right now. There's Fox 2.
Are fully vaccinated. That
there you go,
is
Chris Renee, trying to implore you. Okay? So I get all the TV stations. Oh, by the way, our pal PJ Randhawa from Channel 5 has two of the most mesmerizing eyes I think I have ever seen. They talk about Alexandra Daddario, and she does. But PJ Randhawa, in addition to being a fine journalist, also just is about as pretty as can be. You know, this Asian American thing and this Indian American thing that's been going on with our cultures, you know, the last several decades. These beautiful women, the Jasmine Hudas, the PJ Randhawas. But PJ's leaving us for Seattle, which gets her a lot closer to home. She grew up in southern Canada, right there near the border. And so she'll be closer to home and a good job in Seattle. But it's too bad we got to lose her. But I was watching a lot of local TV and a lot of discussion. And there's going to be a lot of discussion for a while, I think, about what to do with this Stan Kroenke money. All right. So after the lawyers take their $300 million or whatever, there's about $500 million left and a lot of discussion about who's going to get their grubby paws on that and how it's going to be spent. I know I'm dreaming. This will never happen, but it is my suggestion and I'm putting it out there anyhow. Instead of splitting up the $500 million, give this much to these people, this much to these people, this group, this civic organization. No, no. And by the way, this would send a message to the rest of the United States because all you have to do is go outside of St. Louis. We had two guys moving a bed in here a couple of days ago, two black guys, and they looked they looked a little rough. They looked a little bad, like you wouldn't want to mess with these guys, okay? It's probably why they're working as movers. Big, strong dudes. Where'd you move here from? St. Louis. And both of these guys, like, back away from us. Like, oh, St. Louis, man. I never go to that place. That's too dangerous there. This is the reputation that St. Louis has. And not just with, you know, fraidy cats and pussies. These were bad-looking dudes, okay? And they're telling us they wouldn't go to St. Louis because it's too dangerous. Just drop the bed and run out the house. I'm messing with you people. You're from St. Louis. But anyhow, back to this $500 million, you know, give or take a couple of million. Again, it would be an incredible message sent to the rest of the United States. Instead of splitting it up, take all $500 million and put it towards solving the crime problem in St. Louis. The whole wad. Shoot it on fighting crime. More police officers, more community programs. Idle mind is the devil's playground. Give people, particularly teenagers in the inner city, give them something to do. Give them some opportunity. Give them some hope. And not just black kids or people of color either, white kids too. But take the whole wad and throw it at the crime problem. Like I said, it'll never happen, but I'm putting it out there anyhow. All right, just to mop up on some other things that happened during the break, the Winter Classic. What a message, what a lesson in psychology. The Blues show up there, and it's like, I don't know, 21 below or something like that. The wind chill factor, the temperature's 5 below. And you saw it. They parade from the hotel to the bus in beachwear. Whoever thought of that deserves some sort of prize. By the way, did you see they had to heat the ice the other night? First of all, it's one thing to say, all right, we're going to have the Winter Classic in a really, really cold place like Minnesota on January 1st. Well, at least let's play it during the day. No, no, no. They got to have it as a night game, which just exacerbates the problem. And you figure you're skating around, and those guys at least were skating around, could warm up their bodies a little bit, and then the benches were all heated and everything like that. But the people who are sitting up there watching everything, it's like the Norwegians say, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. But I also don't think it gets down to 21 below in that part of the world. But they had to heat the ice. Because if the ice gets too cold, it starts to splinter, and then it doesn't work. Also mess up your skates. And we had blizzard practice over Christmas. Chinooks and Deerberg's both closed. It was almost like there was a blizzard and you can't get your bread and your milk and everything like that. So consider that practice. That was a dress rehearsal. But even though it's, you know, really, really cold here the last couple of days, December, third warmest December in St. Louis history. Also want to thank the gang from El Monstero, Kevin Gagnupan, and the rest of the guys gave us some complimentary tickets. So we enjoyed the show again, although it threw everybody off if you're at that show. On the day after Christmas, they've always done two sets. They do a break in the middle, a little intermission. You get up, have a beer, take a leak, whatever, come back, see the second half of the show. So second half of the show completes, the lights come up, and people start leaving. They think it's the end of the show, even though there was no ending to the show. Nobody said, thank you for coming, good night, we'll see you next year, whatever. They just walked off the stage. But people thought the show was over, and they started to leave. And it wasn't until people started grabbing, no, 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 there's a third act this time. There's a third part of this whole thing. And then people came back and sat down. But it was a great show, as always. We lost a couple of people, in addition to Betty White. We've already talked about that. Back in those great, great days of 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station that existed in St. Louis from about 87 into somewhere in the 90s before they flipped it. Guy who did our midday show and then later on went on to work at the radio station The River, Chuck Jeffries, passed away. He was a really, really nice guy, a really talented guy, a great set of pipes. After he left St. Louis, he became a major cog in the San Francisco Giants radio network. He did a lot of like commercials and announcements and, you know, just recorded stuff and everything like that for the radio network that broadcast the Giants game. Then he moved to Mexico for a while and off to Phoenix, and he was a great physical specimen, by the way. Guy did yoga religiously, and he did not age, and we were really, really sorry to see the passing of Chuck Jeffries over the holiday break. And the other guy had some great years doing stand-up comedy in St. Louis. I saw him a couple of times, and he was also a guy that those sports banquets always used to invite because he did a great couple of impressions, including Mike Shannon. He was really funny and did a lot of sports-related stuff, and then also was writing jokes for the blue-collar comedy guys. like Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy. So he was doing a lot of behind the scenes type stuff. And we're talking about Craig Hawksley. Craig Hawksley, for a while, was one of my competitors because we were on KSD and he was with the U-Man over on KSHE for a couple of years. I hadn't talked to him in maybe 2 or 3 years, but he was a funny guy. And I think every Super Bowl weekend here on the show, we have played this thing by Craig Hawksley.
All right, people. Why do men love football? It's not what you think. It's not the violence. It's not the two-minute drill or the safety blitz. It's not even the cheerleaders or the tailgating or the beer. The answer lies deep within the psyche of every American male. Now, each and every football game is 1 hour. That hour is broken down into 2 30-minute halves, then further broken down into 4 15-minute quarters. After the first quarter, players are given a 2-minute break. After the first half, players are given a 2-minute warning break to help them prepare for the immediately following 12-minute halftime break. After 3 quarters, players are allotted a 2-minute breather. Each game consists of 4 to 6 clock stopping challenges. Each game consists of 12 2-minute timeouts. Then you got random TV timeouts and clock stoppages due to injuries and penalties. Each game runs approximately 100 plays. 40 seconds are allotted from the end of each play to the start of the next one. 34 of those seconds are spent idly standing around like a construction crew on the Friday afternoon before a 3-day weekend. Roughly 6 of those seconds are used to run each play. Therefore, in a 60-minute game that takes 3.5 hours to complete, players spend no more than 10 minutes actually working. And then they get a whole week off with pay. That is why men love football. That's all.
And as I've been saying, we're living in an era where all these cultural icons, I don't know, just talk about local people. You know, Tom Petty is gone, 66. David Bowie. And by the way, his estate just sold his music catalog too for, I think it was $250 million. We're losing everybody. And that's really going to be what we will all have to deal with here as our lives start to wind down a little. It's a sad situation that we'll be leaving behind for Keith Richards, who, as far as I can tell, is sort of like an insect. You know, the asteroid killed life as we know it because the dinosaurs went, but somehow the cockroaches survived. So see Keith Richards on his keyboard there, on his laptop, going to 23andMe, trying to find out if he has any cockroaches in his lineage. The rest of us are just going to go when it's time. And on that happy note, we say that's it. J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, January 4th, 2022. 308 days remaining in our democratic system as we have known it. The whole thing has come to a conclusion. We're back now every day. Sorry about the late post today, incidentally. We were supposed to post at 7 o'clock, but I had all sorts of technical issues I had to work out, so we ran a little late here today, but things should go back to normal by tomorrow. Don't forget, we archive everything right here on the website, jcontheline.com. Do your best to spread the word. We are amongst the top 10% in podcasting in this country right now, and let's keep that going strong. Add even more people here at jcontheline.com. Have a great day. Talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.